Podcast.
Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of The Mouth Podcast. Today I'm here with Yashika Graham, who is a Jamaican poet. Her recent poetry collection has been shortlisted for the 2025 OCM Booker's Prize for Poetry, and she has already received many prizes, fellowships, and residencies, and I'm so delighted that she can be here with us today. Thank you so much for making time for this today. Your poetry collection, Some of Us Can Go Back Home, has recently been published. And what would you like to tell a prospective readership overseas about the book?
Ooh, okay. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. And greetings to your listeners as well. What I would like to tell prospective readers about this book is it is a journey. It was the creation of it was a journey. It was in part my way of trying to find my way back home after moving to the city from rural Jamaica and trying to remember the nature of the place. And in trying to remember the nature of the place and now write it, I discovered that there were many more layers than memory could even serve to fulfill. And so what comes out in the text is a bit of that layeredness. And, you know, Jamaica is a popular place. There are many notions or ideas surrounding Jamaican, you know, definitions that people have. And with this text, I discovered and also wanted to show the many textures of the place. So you hear many voices, you'll hear narratives coming from different places, and there is food and lots of texture in that text. So that is really my invitation into seeing Jamaica in new ways.
Mm-hmm. So what is your home in rural Jamaica like?
Well, very green. So I grew up in West Rand, which is known for Negril, which is the beach side. But I grew up in the hills, closer to the St. Elizabeth border. So very, very rural community, a community of farmers, a community of people getting through the day, you know. And some of that is a challenging life. But you find that people support each other and them walk with a hand of banana or walk with a piece of pumpkin, go give the neighbor and that kind of thing. So it's that kind of place.
Oh, nice. Sounds really interesting. So now, coming to your writing and your poetry work, what fascinates you about language and how does this influence your poetry and writing?
Ooh, wow. Many things fascinate me about language. Some of it has to do with the music of it. So sometimes when I'm writing a poem, I'm looking for music in it. I'm looking for the rhythms. I'm looking for how the words bounce off each other or might bounce off from the voice, but also I'm looking for the meat of the story, like what is there to find in this place. And I often have to go back to various rooms of an experience. So, for example, I have a poem in the collection called Umbilical, and it's about climbing trees. I grew up climbing trees, and it was just so mundane at the time. But there was an incident where my mother, she was going somewhere and she said, all right, climb the tree and pick some breadfruit and make some soup. And me go tell her, I say, I can't climb. She's like, you know, my pick me if I can't climb tree. And she tells that story all the time. And then a few years ago, I heard it again in my head and it sat differently with me when I heard it again. And I just wrote it down and the poem started. So it was very much as if I had now found the meaning, like this is the lesson she was trying to give to me every time she not only asked me to climb the tree, but when she repeats that experience that we shared with each other. Because I mean, climbing a tree, you get to see the world in this different way. You get to perceive the world from a space that you would not normally, you know, when you're standing on level ground. You know, I'm going to see the top of buildings, you know, I'm going to see the top of the hill, you know. And so you're able to see the world in this new way, but also you're finding food, you're finding sustenance, you're finding a way through the day, you know. And so I think part of it is looking for what the lessons are here and going along the journey with music into as well.
So it's a lot about actual physical experiences from your childhood and growing up that you then translate into poetic language.
A lot of it, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. By listening to the music that comes with it.
Listening to the music and listening to the stories that are embedded and the lessons that are embedded. But sometimes you don't hear it right away. It's like you have to live a little more and you have to go your journey and then you find what was the lesson.
Interesting. So I saw that you also perform your poetry, right? Like that's even how I saw you the first time 10 years ago, performing at Nanook. What is like the role of performing poetry as compared to writing and publishing poetry? Is like some people say their poetry is more made for performing than for being printed. How do you see the balance between the two sides of it?
Well, I really appreciate being able to sit with a poem in a big way. There is something that being in that quiet space with the work alongs. There's a big way that intimacy with the work, you can go through word by word and you hold that space with the poem, right? But I also believe that poetry is meant to be spoken. It is spoken. It is, for example, I mean, a poem on the page looks not necessarily whole. They're in stanzas and they're broken up in these different ways. But a lot of the times you can find, if you really look at it, it's a sentence or it's a few sentences, right? And so that vocality is very important. So, for example, when I'm writing a poem, I have to speak it, and speaking it helps me to determine whether or not the poem is working. I can hear whether something is jagged or whether a poem is too bulky for where it is in the poem, or whether it just doesn't work in a sonic way. And that is served by vocalizing it. And I don't know how I came to that appreciation, but perhaps because storytelling and my initiation to language and to the space of the narrative came from hearing, because I grew up hearing stories. Like, there weren't many books in my house when I was growing up, right? So a lot of the stories were somebody tell you something, and somebody tell you that one time they watched a movie and this is how it went, and you just sit down here and listen about the whole movie, and you swear that you saw the movie too. So a lot of what I make on the page, it is something that I want to be heard as well. Read, yes, but certainly heard. And so I think that there is a big value in each of those and that each serves the other. Of course, there is the space of the spoken word that perhaps there are people who lean more into that to say this is for the stage. And there's a big space for that. And I think that that is important too, because there's a power in performance that you don't necessarily get from when you just quietly read something.
Mm-hmm. So when you create poems, they are first like a vocal thing for you?
Not necessarily. They work in tandem. They work together. So sometimes I start a poem because I hear it. Like I hear a voice. Or I can hear a character speaking something. And then I have to go write it down. There are times when a poem, I have to record it first because it's so vocal. It's such a sound-based thing that I have to record it because I couldn't write it down. I would lose some of the sound if I wrote it down in that initial moment. So I have to record it, and then I transcribe. And then I do my edits after that. But to capture that, the orality of it, I had to say it, how I'm hearing it in my head. Yeah.
And how is it like for you to perform your poetry on stage?
You know, I think my style has changed a lot. So when you saw me initially, I think I was very much leaning into more theater and more spoken word in a way. But even though I am not necessarily leaning in that way so much right now, it's very important. Like that presentation, I think I don't know if I would appreciate poetry as much if I couldn't read it, like, out loud, to be able to occupy the world of the poem in front of an audience. I think there's something really powerful in that. And that comes out in when I'm, like, selecting what I read. So if I have a reading, I often think, okay, what do I want to hold in this moment? What do I want to share? What is on my heart? And I find the poems that qualify to do that. And in a very big way, it's a way of connecting. And I find that very helpful in connecting and reaching out to the audience. It's never just a performance necessarily for me.
Mm-hmm. It's like an interaction in a way as well. How your poetry resonates with the audience.
Mm-hmm. And what comes out for them too. You know, sometimes I remember being in Venezuela some years ago, and I read a poem about a mother being a bushwoman, and a lady came up to me and said, my mother is a bushwoman too. And so you find that, you know, the world is just the world. Separate as we might seem, we are having a lot of mutual experiences. And even if we're not having mutual experiences, the nature of being human in the world connects us and can connect us. And I think language and storytelling is a very big way to close that gap a little more.
And to share with others and exchange and also maybe learn from each other.
Absolutely.
And that's what your sharing is also about in your new book.
Yes.
Coming back to the beginning of what you said about the book. Yeah, and then I saw that you also teach, like, writing workshops. What is the most important advice that you give to upcoming or beginning writers in your workshops?
Oh my God. I don't know if I have a broad thing, a broad advice to give, but I always encourage the participants, workshop participants, to listen, to pay attention. You know, when you're going through your day, I think a poet is a receptor in a lot of ways, that you're collecting things. So the voices that you hear in your head, how you're able to translate the voices you hear in the world onto the page, you have to pay attention. Because sometimes when you write things down, you can lose some of what is more authentic, or what that orality, like how people talk. You know what I mean? How people break up their languages, or how people joke and take jabs at each other. What does that sound like in reality? So I think it's, you know, paying attention. That's a very big thing. Even before you start, right? Paying attention to the world around you, and trust your own process. It's not going to be a poem right away. It might just be that you need to put this bit of what you have found on the page, and you work through that process of finding the poem somewhere along the process. But certainly paying attention and trusting yourself and trusting what you've been given, and the process of creation begins there.
Yeah, that somehow resonates with something that I read on your blog, on your website, where you talked about how you kind of conceptualized a poem as a puzzle where pieces are already there. But then this changed, like, for you also, how the poem comes together, or how the different parts come together, something that you mentioned in this blog post.
Yes, I think when I just started writing, I would take that initial offering that I got, however I got it, and I would feel very confident in it, like, oh yes, this is the poem. And I think now I realize that a lot of those things are just parts of the process of the poem, and that maybe it could sound like I'm having less fun now because it's a lot more work. But it is seeing that, you know, this experience, the creation experience, is a lot more layered. There's a lot of pieces, and that process is something that you have to sit with and engage in.
Mm-hmm. Do you also think that like the meaning that your poem conveys is also layered in a way through maybe the language and the experience behind?
Well, that's always going to be the case, I think. And that's also not just based on me, that may also be based on who is reading and
right.
where they're coming from to visit the poem. Yeah, right.
Thanks so much. That's all my questions for now, unless you maybe want to read a little bit.
All right, so since I mentioned the tree poem, I'm going to read that one. So this is Umbilical. My mother tells the story every time she gets a chance, which is to say, every time she sees her face on me, which is to say, every time she sees my face. She says she instructed me to pick breadfruit for the soup and I said I couldn't climb. She says she denied me then, but not in those words. Told me I was not her child if I couldn't travel through trees. She says the next time she saw me, I was a bird in the bud, wanting to be hers again, but not in those words. She says she climbed with all her children in her belly, negotiating limbs and limbs, finding footing and food for the fire, and the rest of us waiting on the earth. She prepared me for this, but doesn't say that is what she wants me to know. Not in those words. My mother tells people this story always in front of my face, which is to say her face, which is to say my face, and sometimes I am the only people she tells. But she must know I was there. She must know I remember that she never had to make me a stranger or threaten to sever ties to prove with every climb I was becoming her child.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you